Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Whitney Root in today, and no joke, her business is Whitney Root Gardens. Hi, Whitney.
Hi.
Welcome to Local Matters. So tell me what Whitney Root Gardens is.
Yeah, so for those who really don't believe that's my real last name, it really is. I joke all the time that that's the only reason I married my husband is so I could have that last name.
You went through the phone book, but, for those who remember what a phone book is.
Where's the man that has the last name that aligns with gardening? And that's the one.
I mean, you could have been Whitney Garden Gardens.
I could.
That could be a thing.
I just couldn't find that one.
Yeah, you know. Your husband, he just, luckily, he had right name and it works out. So, so what, side note, what's your maiden name?
My maiden name is Newberry.
I mean, Berry Gardens.
Shout out to Overton County, anybody that knows me.
Okay, there you go. So Whitney Root Gardens, what is Whitney Root Gardens?
So Whitney Root Gardens is a vegetable garden consulting service. So I do everything from design, manage the install, I'm a project manager for that, and then I teach beginner gardeners throughout the season how to maintain their garden and make sure that they're successful in their first year.
So I feel like gardening in probably since COVID has been on the rise. I think that it kind of had a decline. I mean, obviously gardening to feed your families was big in maybe the 50s, 60s kind of thing.
Yeah, it was kind of survival
at
that point.
Probably the 80s, 90s, it declined a bit.
Yeah.
And then COVID had us a little bit bored, and so people started gardening again. And so have you seen more clients and more people wanting to understand their soil? Because I'm guessing you can't just tell people online. You kind of have to know what soil they have, what kind of growing environment, what kind of shit. There's lots of elements, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot. So the first process is me going on site to even see their space, whether they have a garden or not, because that's the really cool thing about doing in-person consulting instead of just only having, you know, an online course or something about gardening or doing TikToks, like 20-second TikToks about gardening. I actually can look at the person's microclimate in their backyard, you know, if they already have pollinators back there, what kind of plants are already there that are maybe bringing in beneficial bugs, and what their landscape looks like, and the slope of their yard even matters, like everything matters. But since COVID, for sure, people have been more concerned with having clean food than, you know, I started gardening mostly because mental health reasons and wanting an outlet that's in nature, gets me away from my 9-to-5 a little bit. But a lot of people really want to start a garden because they want to be as healthy as they possibly can be. And they want to have groceries that are healthier than those from the grocery store because, you know, the term organic has a lot of loopholes in it. And it's something that a lot of people aren't really super trusting right now. So a lot of people just want to, you know, start from ground zero. Like, I want to do it like my great-grandparents did it. I want to grow my own tomatoes. They're better than store-bought tomatoes anyway. And that's a huge reason people do it.
So do you find that most of the people in this area have, you know, raised beds? They have a huge, you know, acre of land that they're gardening on? Do they have, I've seen these kind of gardening towers that people are doing these days too. What kind of gardens are you finding that people are having locally?
So most people, obviously there's a huge rise in raised bed gardening, and there are a lot of reasons for that, because people don't have as much space as like our great grandparents did, where they had these huge row gardens in the ground. Now you're able to do a raised garden bed, put plants a lot closer because the soil is more loose than the ground soil. And you can even grow up with trellises to save space that way. And it's just more aesthetically pleasing to a lot of people, especially if you have an HOA. Like, the gardens that I love doing, HOAs would be so proud of having in their space. Not an eyesore at all. So popularity-wise, raised bed gardens are the best and the most versatile as well.
Where did you get your passion and your knowledge when it comes to gardening?
So I come from a really long line of gardeners.
What's the difference? I'm going to stop for a second. What's the difference between gardeners and farmers?
Okay. I'm sure there's a more technical term to this, but when I think about it, I think that farmers are more like they have an entire system set up with their garden. They are selling produce. They maybe have animals. They have like this whole cycle in at their space, and usually it takes a lot of acreage to do that. Mm-hmm. As far as gardeners, I'm sure there are different levels of gardeners, but I love working with beginners that, you know, have a small space and just wow them with how much they can grow in a small space. So
when people want to just get into it and are, exactly. are just starting out. So you come from a long line of gardeners. Do you think that that was because of mental health, or do you think that that was just to feed the family?
I'm pretty certain it's from wanting to feed the family. Mm-hmm. I mean, my mom has told me that my great-grandma was gardening up until her, like, 80, 85 or something like that. And my grandpa did it, my mom does it, and my other side of the family does it. Like, as far back as I can track and as many questions as I can ask my grandparents, it's always been the family, which is really fun. But it did come with, you know, in-ground gardening, the row gardens, things that, you know, I didn't have access to whenever I only had, you know, half an acre at the house. And they also, you know, we're only provided with so much information, and now we're in the age of information. And with that, I wanted to really learn how to hone in on what I call more than organic gardening. So no pesticides, no synthetic fertilizers, and just trying to stick as close to the earth as possible and doing things in a way that helps the ecosystem and helps my soil long term, rather than depleting it and having to feed it again, depleting it and having to feed it again every single year.
So there's really an art to gardening.
Yeah.
More than just, I think, as a self-proclaimed ignorant gardener, I had a little sandbox that I tried to convert into a garden at one point, and I think I had like 3 strawberries that grew. But I think that what I did is I planted and I walked away. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about mental health, it's not just to plant and walk away. That doesn't help your mental health. That's not, and you're not going to be successful as a gardener if you do that. So tell me about the art that it takes to have a successful garden.
Yeah, I love that you bring that up because, you know, people will ask me to do landscaping like with hostas and crepe myrtles and stuff. I'm like, I do vegetables and, you know, some native plants, some flowers, cut flower gardens and herbs and all of that stuff. I don't touch ornamental landscaping whatsoever. And I think that's one thing that really sets me apart is that I don't just sit and forget. I don't just install and leave. There is a process that happens afterwards. Like I can teach how to do what's called succession sowing. I can teach how to take care of pests naturally. I can teach how to bring in beneficial pests with different plants. Like there's just a lot that goes into it throughout the season. Even just day to day, things can change so quickly. And so I love being in the back pocket of people's phone, in their phones to help them know exactly how to navigate something that can just show up overnight.
So how does this process even start? Let's say I have decided I want to start a garden. I would like to, you know, eat and feed my family from my own backyard. Mm-hmm. How does that, they call you up and then what?
Yeah, so I have a process of booking a consultation to have me out. That process is 1 hour. You can use it for, hey, let's plan a whole thing and do an install. Some people use it for, I would love to just have you out for an hour to look at the space I have and tell me what to do with it myself. Mm-hmm. And so that 1 hour can be used however you want. And then after that, I do the design. We work really closely. And then I have my team do the install. After that, this is my favorite part. We work together to plant everything. I make a planting plan, a little map for you to always follow and see where everything's supposed to grow that you can also use the following year. And then from there, it's your choice if you're like, I feel good about this. I want to go ahead and do it on my own, or you can
hire. I've stepped out on my own, Mom. Yeah. I can do it.
You're walking. You're out of the nest.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it on your own and just experiment. Because some people love the experimental part of gardening.
Once you get a little feel for it, I'm sure that it's like, oh, okay, let me see how this works or how that works. So what does an install entail? What does that even mean? You're thinking install, like, you know, you're bringing in huge concrete and huge, you know, whatever. So what does that kind of look like?
Yeah. So an install, usually what has been my experience so far and what people mostly want are raised beds. So I get those made. We talk about, do we want to do like a grass landscape to just set the beds right on the grass, which I don't recommend because you have like your lawn guys come through and they snap off something that's hanging off of your garden beds and then you're like super sad. So I always love making it its own space and lining it with pea gravel, setting the beds right on top of that. And then, you know, you have to add so much soil, which is the craziest part. Like, people don't realize how much soil it takes to add to raised beds. But when you do it right, the soil gets better over time. So it's a really great upfront investment to do. And then trellises and then the plants. And so that's what it looks like.
Well, and I think you touched on this a little bit. But the thing with raised beds, the soil content in my backyard may be very different than yours. And we may live in Putnam County or Middle Tennessee, and it's not all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so you trying to figure out, I think some people, that's what people get frustrated with gardening, is that they're like, oh, well, I'm trying to grow these tomatoes. And, you know, my neighbor down the street, he grows tomatoes just fine. How come I can't grow them?
Mm-hmm.
And some of it could just be the environment that it's growing in.
It could be that, because you could have a neighbor that has clay soil and you have perfectly fine soil. Like, it's crazy how much it can vary. That's why focusing on your microclimate is really important. That's why I don't love, in my experience, taking random advice from a YouTuber in California was not super helpful for me. And so having somebody that really knows your space can do a soil test for you. And if you don't have good soil, can source locally good soil for you. That farmer that you're talking about that maybe can grow tomatoes, but you can't. It could be that he spent years building his soil so that there's a lot of microbiome, a lot of fungi in there that's really just has built up an immune system that helps the plant thrive. So there's a lot that goes into it.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Whitney Root with Whitney Root Gardens in this morning. So there's so much to know.
Yeah.
and I mean, I might have had a perplexed look on my face when you're like, he could have been growing his soil. And who grows soil? Like, who even knew that that was a thing? How have you, I mean, I feel like you are a plethora of knowledge when it comes to soil and environments and pollinators and all those things. How do you know all this stuff? Where did you learn? I mean, yes, you garden and you came from a family of gardeners, but also I'm guessing grandpa didn't know as much about soil as you did.
I mean, I'll give a little bit of credit to grandpa. We don't really know. I wish he was around, honestly, so I could geek out with this about gardening with him, because I kind of really took advantage of it when he was alive.
Yeah.
But I do so much learning. Like, I don't think learning ever stops. I could be, you know, a garden consultant, an expert at gardening for 10 years, and I feel like there's still something I'm going to learn. It's just such a dynamic art that you're always learning. I've taken online courses. I've had mentors. I've, you know, when I first started doing gardening my way instead of, you know, my grandparents' way, dove into YouTube like crazy, books like crazy. I feel like I spent each winter in my first, you know, 3-4 years of gardening, basically going through like a boot camp myself that I randomly built myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it had no structure whatsoever. It was just like, what YouTube video is up next? And I would watch it. So I've gained a lot of knowledge that way, but also just experience has taught me a lot too, because I can try something that someone taught me in a book and it doesn't work for me, and then I have to figure out why. And usually it's about my certain climate or because my spacing was off. So I've just learned a lot through experience as well, and the ups and downs, the literally having to go headfirst into failure every single gardening season. One, it's not something that a lot of people want to do, and two, I love it.
So in Putnam County or Middle Tennessee, let's say, what is the one thing that gardeners, because I'm guessing a lot of people come to you when they're so frustrated,
mm-hmm.
that they've been trying and they're like, it's not working. Maybe some people come to you with this fresh idea that they just want to start
out. Yeah.
But it's probably really hard for those people who are have been trying mm-hmm. and it's just not working. So what is it that you think would be really valuable to the amateur gardeners at home that are listening today and are like, I'm ready to throw in the towel. Here it is, spring already, and I'm just going to scrap the garden this year because it's just not working for me.
Right.
What do you want people to know?
I would love for people to know that think about the root system of the plant. I see so many people buying, you know, raised garden beds that they can sit on their porch, you know, the ones on legs, and they're trying to grow tomatoes or something really large, like watermelons or something in it. And they only have about, like, you know, 10 inches of space in that raised bed. And so the roots are getting stuck, and then so it's not growing. It's just getting root bound. And so I think people need to think about how a mature plant that you're planting, just Google it. Google it, see what it looks, what the root system looks like when it's full grown. And then that can kind of tell you what kind of bed to get. I never recommend anything under 18 inches deep. And then soil, I'll give a little hack on soil because people are perplexed about soil. You can see on like Facebook gardening groups, you'll get an insane amount of responses of conflicting information from different people.
And I'm guessing it's pretty difficult to find any pesticide for like really, really organic, soil even. Because I think that people probably put a lot of stuff into it. You know, Miracle-Gro, I'm sure probably makes your skin crawl.
It does.
But that's like a common thing that people are like, oh, it's Miracle-Gro and it'll it'll help me get a better garden.
Yes.
And in the long term, that's not true.
Yes. So there are some nuances to this because, yes, you can go grab name brand soil that, you know, mainstream soil, and you might can grow things really well in it. But the thing is, it's not going to build up over time to be more nutritious for your plants year after year. I like to think about soil as something, you know, like wine. It gets better over time. So you want to get something that has the good structure that you need, and then it keeps getting better year after year.
Yeah.
And usually those bagged soils that have like the little pellet fertilizers in them, that's going to deplete your soil over time. And the analogy,
it's the best it ever is when you first plant.
Exactly.
Something.
Exactly. And I would rather, which sounds contradictory, I would rather the first year be the worst and then it get better over time.
Yeah.
But all my clients have had successful gardens in their first year. And now it's about integrating that knowledge to do it themselves. And so, you know, little bird flap and swings, flying out the nest.
What about the climate? I mean, we have the most humid climate I've experienced in most of the world, I feel like, here. It's a very humid climate. It's rainy. It's so hot in the summertime. You know, are there certain vegetables that grow better in that climate? I think, you know, with my limited knowledge, I would think that there's probably some vegetables that just don't like to be in 90-degree, 90% humidity environments. Mm-hmm.
There are some, yes, but there are ways around it. So that's where a really good strategic planting plan can come in play. Because, you know, my first year when I started gardening, I was like, I'll put lettuce up in the front. That's really cute because it's short. And I'll put tomatoes in the back. I did that.
Because it was aesthetically pleasing.
Yes. It's like, you know, the tiered look. And it looks great. Mm-hmm. But actually what you're supposed to do is place, you know, tomatoes all around and then plant the lettuce underneath all of it so it shades it a little better because lettuce will totally fry up in the summer heat. So you can have lettuce all year round if you're strategic about it. If you just have it just right out, nothing around it, lettuce, it's best usually between March to like end of April here. But here I think we have a really good climate compared to like, you know, California or Texas or even like Minnesota, because we can garden about 10 months out of the year, which is shocks people so much because we think of garden season as like April to like July,
summertime,
which is where a lot of things that we want to grow need to be grown, like tomatoes and cucumbers and squash and all of that stuff. But then you get into those cooler climates and you're doing things like broccoli and cabbage and garlic and onions and radishes and all the lettuces because it's cool enough for them to grow. So you really just have to think about the season that you're in, and that's what I teach my clients without having to go into. I don't know if you've heard of this, but you know, we're in zone 7 right now, and up on the mountain really close to us is zone 6B, which means that the average last frost date is around April 15th, whereas someone in Texas, their average last frost date is like, I don't know, end of February or something. Mm. So that's why it's really hard to listen to people across the country.
On social media, in general, on social media.
Exactly, because they don't know exactly your microclimate. Forget microclimate. They know your climate because they know you're in zone 7. Usually most of Middle Tennessee is in zone 7 unless you're on the mountain. And then outside of that, they don't know your microclimate whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They don't know if you have a ton of shade in your yard, so it stays cooler than being in the city. So I do a lot of gardens in Nashville as well. And Nashville is very different than Franklin because Nashville, you're concrete jungle, right? Franklin, you have a lot more farmland. It's a lot cooler, not as hot. So I have to do a lot more strategy on how a garden is planted in Nashville versus in Franklin. And they're different. Yeah. They're not the same garden whatsoever. I can't copy paste it.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Whitney Root in today from Whitney Root Gardens. We've talked about kind of a different variety of gardens. We talked a little bit about why people start gardening. You did for mental health. Tell me a little bit, because you're a reader, I can tell you're like a researcher, you absorbed a lot. What benefits are there for mental health when it comes to gardening?
Yes.
Or so, why is that a benefit?
Yes. So there obviously is a lot of research about it. But even beyond that, there's a feeling that you get whenever you do it that just can't really be explained. But on the research part, let's just talk about, I mean, you see my nails right now. They're not great. Sorry.
They're a little dirty.
Sorry, y'all can't see my nails. Actually, you're welcome. but just having like dirt in your nails and then it being close to you, you having your feet on the ground, having that microbiome.
I have heard there's something about putting your hands in the earth that does something.
Yes. So that microbiome from the soil can benefit the microbiome of your gut. Mm. And if we want to follow that even further, which I'm a big holistic health nerd, the microbiome in your gut, when it's healthy, it helps you make serotonin, which is the happy chemical, which helps with anxiety. So whenever you have a healthy gut, you have less anxiety.
And then, so not just putting your hands in the dirt and kind of connecting with the earth in that way, now having holistic foods that you're mm-hmm. growing because exactly. they're more organic, that then, there's so many health-related things to the chemicals yes. we put in our body. I think it's so interesting how much a lot of these sicknesses and illnesses, and mm-hmm. I feel like everyone in the world has gut health issues, mm-hmm. and a lot of that's because of what you're putting in your body.
It is, and it's also because of our foods, even healthy foods, being depleted of vitamins. So you can have an apple with a certain percentage of, you know, vitamins and minerals in it, but then if you grow your own and build that soil over time to have a really insanely good immune system, that apple's going to be 10 times more nutritious for you. So when you grow your own food, I think, you know, year one's going to be the worst as far as like how healthy the food is. But then over time, it gets healthier and healthier because the soil is getting healthier and healthier.
What would you say your philosophy is when it comes to gardening?
So I like to take the philosophy that, yes, we do more organic and we try to do as clean as we possibly can. But to some extent, you can only be so clean. I went through this. This is a huge mindset shift that I had whenever I had Crohn's disease and reversed it holistically in 6 months.
Wow.
So with that, I had, you know, there was a lot of paranoia around, I want to make sure I'm eating really well. Oh, I can't do this, or I can't use this, you know, lotion on me. It has this toxin in it. And at some point, you can literally spiral so much that the stress is more cancerous to you than the pizza rolls that you could have eaten today,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So at some point, you have to not give your power and, you know, God's power to heal you away to the things that are in front of us, because you can have this perfectly fleshed out garden with organic veggies. You ordered organic seeds. You have really good soil. but you're using city water. Like, there's still only so much you can do.
Well, and I would guess that there's probably, you know, if your budget allows for one or the other, organic soil or organic seeds, that there's one that's going to be a little bit more helpful than the other. I would guess that when it comes to gardening, there's a place for everyone, not just the elitist rich that have a ton of funds.
Exactly. And I love to meet people where they're at. You know, people are like, sometimes I don't want raised beds because I have perfectly good soil here. I used it last year. I just need help with the design. Like, it wasn't efficient. I had to spend too much time in it. And I ended up not getting a ton of produce, so help me with that. And so we'll just do an in-ground bed. It's totally fine. And use the seeds that they harvested last year from their plants.
What do you think that if somebody's kind of interested in gardening, when is the time to call you, or what is the time to call you? You know, what seasonally is the time, or what, like, when they're thinking about it, is the time to call you?
Yes. So since we're in Tennessee and the climate does, you know, there's a lot of forgiveness on when you can start a garden. I say call when you can, because at the very least, we get your beds installed and it's all set up. And then once it's ready, we can plant in it.
Well, and there's cycles for all, you know, there's, you were just kind of saying, there's some that you plant in March and then you can replant more in June. Mm-hmm. And then you know, so there's cycles. So even if they call you, somebody calls you in the middle of the dead heat of summer,
exactly,
there's something in fall that they could be growing.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah. It's not an end all be all. Like, you have to call me in April once the garden centers have everything. It can be at any point throughout the year. It just kind of changes what you can grow at that time. Because, for example, right now, I wouldn't be planting tulips. They're done. Right now, I wouldn't be planting kale. It's about to get too hot, you know?
Yeah. Which is something that people, you know, and I think that's one of those frustrating factors for people, that they might plant tulips in April and then they don't bloom very well. And they're like, see, I can't do it.
And you know what? The big box centers, they literally put them out at that time.
Yeah.
And you're just set up for failure.
Yeah. Yes. So speaking of, what you kind of talked about soil. What's your soil recommendation? Not Miracle-Gro. Clearly.
My soil recommendation, I love making my own mixture. Okay. So you can get from, I prefer going to like a local landscape store. There's some in Cookeville, there's some in Crossville, there's really good ones in Jamestown as well. We have some all around. I love doing...
I think the McMinnville area, don't they have a ton down in
McMinnville
as well?
Yes, they do. And Hendersonville has a really good one. You can get premix from different places, but I love making my own just because that's what's readily available out here. But in Nashville, you guys are covered. You guys are covered with like full deliveries and everything. So I love doing... In thirds, topsoil, one-third topsoil, and then one-third mushroom compost, and then one-third sand. The topsoil is basically, think the meat and potatoes, because that's what is your soil texture. Mm-hmm. The mushroom compost is the nutrients, and then the sand, which is masonry sand, you wouldn't want to use like playground sand. That is what helps the soil drain water and not hold it, so that way the water can continually flow through, the roots don't get rotted, and I love that soil mix.
It's really interesting when you talk about the roots. I have a large, I think somebody said that it's a 250-year-old oak tree in my backyard, and the roots are kind of starting to come up to the surface in other parts of the backyard, and I thought at one point, the roots of this tree are probably throughout my whole entire backyard. And that's, I mean, roots do, they just take shape, and they're so important for the value of what is growing on. Like, what goes on top of the surface is so small compared to the root system.
It's true. The root system is where it's at, and the soil is where it's at, which is so funny because it's the stuff that you don't actually see that makes it.
Yeah. Which is kind of like people, right?
It is.
So if people want to set up a consultation, or how do they start, you know, the process with you?
So I would totally recommend going to whitneyrootgardens.com. There is an option there to book a consultation with me. You fill out a form so that way I understand what you're needing. We can make sure we're a good fit for each other. And then I come to your space and we go through that consultation. And like I said at the beginning, it's either You can use it for education for your current garden, or you can use it as almost a deposit for the install that you want to have done. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we just go through the whole process. I meet you where you're at. It can be as little or as much as you want.
Where do you see things going in the next 5 to 10 years with Whitney Root Gardens?
In the next 5 to 10 years, I definitely see making gardening very normal again. Mm-hmm. That's a huge mission I have. I would love to just drive through town and see so many people having gardens.
Well, and make it attainable.
And make it attainable. Make it digestible. Get yeah. people off the internet from learning it and just communicate with people in your community about it. Use local people, and it's just... it's really awesome.
Well, and one of the things you mentioned, so you've mentioned you grow vegetables. Mm-hmm. You have not mentioned fruit at all. So why is that?
I kind of almost bundle them together in
okay,
a way.
Okay, so fruits are part of it too.
Food.
Food, yes, yes.
Yes.
So fruits and vegetables are your go-to.
Yes, and cut flowers. I do love cut flowers. I'm starting a flower farm this year and I want to take the approach where I bundle the flowers together and people can make their own bouquets, because the point of gardening for me is that people get to interact with nature, use their hands, get off their screens. And so I do everything that has to do with gardening pretty much.
And I was just going to say there could be the other side of that where you could just grow food in your own backyard and sell it at farmers markets. Mm-hmm. But you care so much about spreading the process mm-hmm. that you want to consult with people. You want other people to be able to be successful mm-hmm. instead of, you know, that there's a limit for you providing food to others.
Exactly. And the only way to scale that is to help other people learn how to grow their own food as well. I saw a quote the other day that was like, gardening is what kept our great-grandparents mm-hmm. alive. Like, it gave them food, and even before then. Mm-hmm. And it might be what gets our great-grandkids through. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know. But regardless of food supply, like, that obviously is a huge topic. But on top of that, we are so glued to our phones. We're so glued to TV. We're so disconnected from nature. A lot of people don't even know how our food is grown. And I think that that is so important for, like we talked about, your gut health, your mental health, everything. Because we're literally meant to tend to the earth. And I love using Bible references for this because, like, life started in the garden. And where did Jesus go whenever he was about to be crucified? He literally went to a garden.
Yeah.
So I think that the garden is so healing, and it's supposed to be integrated into our life.
Well, and not only just being out in the earth, I think just breathing fresh air, there's a huge benefits from mm-hmm. vitamin D and being in the sun. My kids will often say to me, "Mom, you look so tan." And I'm like, "Well, go out and cut the grass." Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. It's not like I'm out laying in the sun. I just mm-hmm. do stuff outside. And that's kind of how that works. Mm-hmm. So once again, tell us what that website is.
It's Whitney Root Gardens.com.
Gardens.com. Whitney Root Gardens. You can go and book your consultation. Mm-hmm. Whitney will head over and check out your space and check out your micro
climate.
And she'll tell you what soil you can use. So yes. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for being here, Whitney.
Thank you so much.